gospel lesson this morning. We're back into the book of Luke in chapter 17, reading verses 5 through 10. So hear now the word of God. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who had just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
This is one of those texts that if you read and study, you want it to say one thing, but it says not the thing you want, but the thing you need. Can I tell you what I want this text to say before I tell you what it really says? I want it to say, and I bet you do too, this teaching of Jesus, this particular text, this parable that has no parallel in Matthew or Mark, is offering us a hard teaching, and what I want it to say is that us, can just ask Jesus to increase our faith, and he will. And what I want it to say is, and if he increases it enough, and I have enough faith, then I can move mountains, and I can walk through the halls at Eggleston or Scottish Rite and heal all the children, if only I have enough faith. We want to be in control. And that is not what this text says. Sounds like it might be saying that, but it isn't. Jesus was teaching the disciples. It was an intimate gathering of those closest to him and a sort of a conversation with them. And he's getting close to Jerusalem and close to the cross, and right in the verses before we come to the fifth verse where we started, he's talking to them about the church. He's telling them what's going to happen to him and what's going to happen with them. And he's talking to them about the church. And he says to them in those verses before we get to five, some are more mature in faith than others. And you should never make someone who is not as mature in faith stumble. You be kind, you be compassionate, you be hospitable, you be generous. Don't make them stumble. Now, mature in the faith doesn't necessarily mean you're old. Some people are old and not mature in faith, and some people are very young and are mature in faith. But getting older doesn't necessarily mean you're increasing in wisdom or in faith. You with me? Here's some pictures of some child movie stars. Let's see if you can know who they are. And then this is the what you're talking about guy, right? Gary Coleman. And this is him a little later on. And this is him right before he died. Opie. There's Opie. And then there's Opie. Except now he's turning into Ron Howard. And there's Ron Howard. He lost his hair. That ever happened to any of you? Who is this? Shirley Temple. Sweet little thing. Uh-oh. As you get older, you don't necessarily get smarter or more faithful. I picked out a few people from our church that got older and did get smarter, more committed, more dedicated, and more mature in the faith. Let's see if you recognize any of these folks. Lynn Johnson, Miss Doris, CJ. This is the woman, by the way, who left when she, even before she died, she created a trust for our vacation Bible school, and we draw off that trust every year so that children don't have to pay to come to vacation Bible school. You know who that is? Anybody want to take a guess? Say it again. Kathy Brannon. Who would have ever thought when she was that age she'd wind up keeping our books? The Kleins. You're exactly right. That's Vi and their son Jason and Mr. Ron. And can you imagine the strength it takes to be in Mr. Ron's situation and be his caregiver also? A lot of strength. And so as the years have gone on, these are people who have been at Shamley for a long, long time, but they have matured in their faith, and they have gotten wiser, and they have gotten stronger. Just wanted to show those to you. Jesus then told his disciples, don't cause these little ones to stumble. Don't cause them to give up. Don't cause them to question their faith. Now, this is going to pinch the toes of the church folks, those who've been in church for a long time. I mean, after all, if they really welcome in some of the less mature in faith or some of the younger folks into the congregation, they're going to have to give up their seat, the position they've held for 142 years. Things change, and we have to change with the times. And some of us resist that change. I'm glad to see Miss Sally back. If you don't know, Miss Sally teaches at Emory School of Nursing. We have no choice but change because insurance changes and because science changes and because there are new and better ways to do things and new equipment that has to be learned. That's a field where there's constant change. But it's also necessary in the church. Then Jesus talks to them about forgiveness. And they were pretty much told that now that they are Christian, there is more expected of them. They did what we do. They got scared when they heard all these instructions for the church and all these changes that were going to happen and all these expectations that not only Christ but God was levying on us. And they got scared. And so they did exactly what we would do. We bowed on our knees and cried holy and said, please increase our faith. They and we think that if God will increase our faith, that we can work miracles and that we'll be in control. We cannot be in control. That belongs to God. God is still on the throne. We still belong to God. We are still God's servants. And God will always be the master, and we don't get to retire. That's what the scripture says. I didn't say that. That's what the scripture says. You cannot retire. There is no end date for you. Now, this text does not talk about slavery being okay. Years ago, people interpreted it that way. And this scripture this scripture does not say that there are classes of people and some deserve to be served and some don't deserve to be served. That's not what this text says. What this text says is me, you, us, humans, will always be a servant of God's. Always. We can't reverse that, no matter how much faith we get, no matter how many people in the church think we're the most faithful things or the most Christian things, or I wish I could be just like this person because they've got faith. Woo, they got faith. Faith as a grain of mustard seed they got, and just work great wonders. And this text is telling us it isn't them that's working these wonders. When my son Mark was a little boy, he had tubes in his ears. 4 different times he had tubes in his ears. He kept an earache and a sore throat, and we did the best we could. Medicine's changed now, and there are better treatments. But that means he can't put his head underwater, and that means I have to be careful to keep water out of his ears. And so when we would go swimming, and we are a water family, always have been, I would say, be careful, Mark, stay up, Mark. Don't put your head under, Mark. Don't put your face in, Mark. And I scared him, and he became very frightened of the water. His brother was swimming alone, unaided, before he was 2 years old. Mark was scared. So when he got about 4 or 5 years old, I had earplugs poured for him, custom made, so that he could begin to enjoy the water. Now he's scared. He didn't want to enjoy the water. He's scared of the water. And so I would say, come on, Mark, let's go. And I'd say, you go with me. And I would hold him and jump in. Stand right here on the side and just put your toes over Mark. You'll see. Just put your toes over Mark. And then I would reach up to take his hand, and he would take my hand, and gently I would pull him, and finally he would go in, and then he would come up and know that he was going to be all right. And eventually, he jumped in the water on his own, came bobbling up, and swam to the side unaided, and it was a great victory. When he got to his grandparents' house, he said, "You should have seen me." He said, "I jumped into that water all by myself and swam to the side." And I thought, how many times have I almost drowned trying to convince that boy he could do that? All by myself. Nobody helped me, he said. Just like us. Just like the disciples. We got this, God. We can do this, God. You increase our faith, and then we'll take care of business. We got it. Increase our faith, oh God. Help us to be better than we are, oh God. But what Jesus was really doing was encouraging us, saying, okay, take my hand and come on in. You're not going to drown. Just here. Reach out and grab my hand. Come on in. You're not going to drown. If you have enough faith in me, Jesus saying, to take my hand and come into the water, I'll do the rest. But some sort of conjured up image of faith that is not even real is not what you need. What you need is faith in me, not faith in yourself. Not, I've got enough faith so I can do this. John Wesley, our founder, Lavanya, instead of Presbyterians, asked a mentor of his once, "I don't think I have faith. What should I do?" And his mentor said to him, "Preach faith until you have it, and then preach faith because you have it." You see? Same faith. Jesus cautioned them that this faith is not about power or privilege. This faith is about service and work. See, that part about masters and slaves was really Jesus talking to his disciples and to us through the ages, saying to us, the Father is the master. You're just servants. You won't ever be anything but servants. Servants to the master. Always you will be servants to those who are serving. Go to church, be leaders. You'll be helping those who are serving. That's what this text is about. Even if you are the last one out when Wednesday night supper is over and the first one in to help set up tables. It's about service. Even if it's about taking the only vacation you have and going on a mission trip, it's about service. Even if it's about, instead of watching the end of the ball game, coming over to the church to fix dinner for the youth, it's about service. You with me? It's not about prestige or power or pride or any of those things, even if it cost me everything and I gladly surrender, it is about service. See, it wasn't yours to begin with. We belong to God. Our time, our talents, our gifts, our service, and our witness. All that we have, all that we are, all that we will ever be belong to God. We are God's, and we are called to service. Increase our faith, O God, not to move trees or mountains, not to make us powerful, but to make us strong to do God's work. Increase our faith, O God, not to witness miracles or try to do them, like some preachers do, but to make us wise so that we can do God's will. Increase our faith, O God, only so that we can work for your kingdom's sake. Increase our faith, O God, so that we can better serve you, so that we can better love you, so that we can better trust you. And so the prayer goes through ages and generations. Increase our faith, O God. And God is saying back to us, sometimes audibly, I already have, and I will continue. Here's one of the ways I will continue to increase your faith. This is my body broken for you, and this is my blood shed for you. Do this always in remembrance of me. Amen.